The buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Hour number two, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's overtime with William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown joining you on a Monday. Great first hour. We'll continue it here in the second. 865-288-3131 if you want to call in and join. We open real quick with some breaking news. Jonas Adu, former Tennessee center, has received a crystal ball to Arkansas. Was there this weekend. Jonas Adu playing for Coach Cal. How does that feel?
Not good.
Like a smack in the face.
Not good.
Yeah.
I told you, I saw him at Chipotle today wearing that red. I guess that was a sign.
Just a subtle little, I don't know.
He got beans on his bowl, too. That's a big no-no.
Just like going to Arkansas is a big no-no. Over here.
Y'all put beans? Y'all get a Chipotle often?
No.
I prefer Moe's to Chipotle.
What?
Yes.
What?
It might be my figure that tells
crazy.
That gives
exactly,
that away.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
That's crazy day. Talk, man. I don't like Moe's. I've never have. It's just like,
it's an acquired taste.
It's not the same quality, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I think their queso's a little bit better. You know, I can get some, you know, I don't know.
I don't know
what my argument is. I just like it better.
I've never been a Moe's guy. I don't know. Maybe I had a bad experience with it. I don't know. Anyway. All right. Well, let's talk about three guys that had good experiences this weekend. Joe Milton, Jalen Wright, and Kamal Haddon have been selected to the NFL. In the 2024 NFL Draft, after taking Drake May with the third pick in the NFL Draft, the New England Patriots went quarterback again in round six, nabbing Tennessee's Joe Milton at pick number 193. The 24-year-old Milton is a physical specimen, you could say. 6'5", 246 pounds, with a rocket of an arm, but he didn't get much of a chance to impress under center until his final season in Knoxville. As a super senior last year, Milton started all 12 games and completed 229 of his 354 passes for 2,813 yards, 20 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. After 3 years with Mac Jones, this new Patriots regime is valuing arm strength. After picking May at number 3, the Patriots nabbed Milton in the 6th round, a low-cost flyer, if you will, on a big quarterback with a rocket of an arm and a high upside. For now, Milton will strictly be a developmental player. They've also got Jacoby Brissett on the roster. So I think Brissett will start the year, but May will probably, by the middle of the season, probably move into that starting role. But now, you know, if Milton impresses coaches, he could be the backup going into 2025. So talking about the situation in New England, is it good for Joe Milton? I'm a little bit indifferent about it because under Bill Belichick, the Patriots have been a tire fire ever since Tom Brady left. Offense has been secondary, really to none. And it hasn't been valued. They hired Jerod Mayo, who's a VFL. We love Jerod. But as a coach and a player, all he knows in the NFL is Bill Belichick. Do we see a big change there in the style that the Patriots possess next year? So that's one of my questions stylistically about the coaching. The second thing, and I think this kind of helps for Milton out, Drake May's the guy they're really working on.
Yeah,
Milton's there to fine-tune some things and improve his skills, which I think is a good situation to be in because it's not like he's going in being the quarterback or being the big draftee quarterback for this team. Drake May is. So yeah. Milton's job is to get better and see what he can do to stay on the roster, and then over time you could be a backup and then maybe get your opportunity if Drake May goes down. This season, I don't think we'll see a lot from Milton, but I do think it's a good situation in terms of low stakes, not a lot of pressure, just getting the opportunity to get your feet wet. Guys, what do you say?
I lost where we were at.
I'm sorry, you're fine. We're talking about Joe Milton in terms of what – do you think this is a good situation in New England for Milton?
It could be worse. I mean, I feel like he could have gotten drafted somewhere where maybe they did want him to eventually be the starter. Maybe they did want to thrust him into that situation. Mm. Certainly could have been worse destinations for him. He's paired up with a guy that's going to start in Drake May. He's paired up with a guy that's been in the league for a while in Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, he's not Tom Brady, but he's been around. He's been on a lot of teams. He's seen a lot of things. That's going to be helpful for Joe Milton. It's going to be a big benefit to have a veteran guy like that in the locker room. I like him going to that spot where he can just – develop. He can learn. He can do the things better that we wanted him to do better, that we wanted him to learn. I like that for him. You rather him go somewhere with a guy like maybe a Kirk Cousins or somebody like that that's been around, that has won a lot of games, that's been that kind of team leader. I'm not saying that Brissett is not that guy. Mm-hmm. He's been around the league. But I would have liked to see him, you know, go to an Atlanta with Kirk Cousins or somewhere like that, like an L.A. Rams with Matthew Stafford or somewhere like that. But I like the situation for him because he can develop, because he can just take the pressure off his shoulders and say, I'm going to get better, and I'm going to prove the coaches that I'm going to be good at this.
Yeah,
I completely agree with you right there. I think, you know, a better spot for him would have been under a guy like Kirk Cousins. That was exactly the first thing I thought of whenever I was reading through our pamphlet tonight. But, you know, as for a fit for Joe Milton, I think it's a decent spot. It's like you said, it's not the worst. It's not a pressure situation for him. He's not going to be having to strive to become the guy. And, you know, where at Tennessee, he immediately comes in as a transfer, is thrust into that role and fails very early on before getting replaced. So I think him being paired with a guy that like Drake May, he's going to be learning the playbook alongside. I think that's going to be great for growth as well. And for mentorship under Jacoby Brissett, being a guy that's started at several places, has been sort of a locker room guy for so long, sort of like Joe Milton was for Tennessee for quite a bit of time. I think that in tandem is going to be a good spot for him because he can develop. He can have that pressure taken off of his shoulders, and he can really find his fit in the NFL.
We'll continue our conversation about the draftees, but we received a call from Titans Bill. We want to bring him in, 865-288-3131. What's up, Titans Bill?
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Doing well. We appreciate you calling. Titans Bill, are you there? Titans Bill, a little bit of a slow roll. Titans Bill, are you still there? Looks like we've lost connection with Titans Bill. We'll try to bring him back in. But we'll continue to move on talking about Milton and what the expectation should be for this team. I guess what should the expectation be for Milton with the Patriots? I think it's that he's a backup and that he just – continues to try and fine-tune a couple things, get better at reading defenses, which I think is something he struggled with. Presenting the ball accurately and in timely fashion, I think is something to look at. Mm. And I think that's the realistic expectation here, because this is, again, a guy that's coming in as the second-best quarterback drafted in this Patriots class.
Yeah.
Very low stakes, the opportunity to fine-tune some things, and I think – that he has the opportunity to do that. I think that would be the expectation for Milton. Jace, what do you say?
I'd say sort of the same thing. You know, like you said, him not being, you know, thrust into that power position is going to be huge for him. I'd really like to see some growth in the short game. I know we hit on it around Pro Day and, you know, the combine itself, with him getting a little bit more touch in the short game as well. Like you said, some improved decisions across the board, but especially between the numbers. We saw it in the Senior Bowl. Did not play that great across the middle. I remember that horrible interception that he threw. So I think being able to, you know, grow in that aspect will only help his case down the line as well. And maybe in the running side of things, we've seen him utilize his legs quite a bunch. Take fewer hits. We know what kind of guy he is. He's 6'5". He looks like Cam Newton out there, but maybe even a little bit more big at that. I think if you can, you know, lower the hits on that while you're practicing, if it even comes to it, if you can save your legs as much as you can, I think it'll only help him in the long run.
Dawson.
Be coachable is what I wrote down. And that's what I wrote down for the combine too. Show that you're coachable. Work on the things you know you need to work on. Get better at progressions, reading defenses, feeling pressure, accuracy, all the things we kind of talked about the end of the season and then again at the combine and the Senior Bowl. Do those things at a higher level. You know, be coachable. Take coaching from those guys. Take coaching from Jacoby Brissett,
yeah,
who again is going to be a resource for you. The second thing for me, wait and see. There is no guarantee at the NFL level, number one, that a guy is going to pan out. You know, I'm not saying Drake May is a bust. I'm just saying we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Nobody knows yet. Or maybe an injury happens. I mean, look at all the times that somebody's been drafted and then an injury happens. They're the starter.
Yeah.
Most notably, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Drafted in the sixth round by New England, nonetheless.
Yeah.
To be the backup ends up, well, we know what he did in his storied career. Just wait and see if an opportunity becomes available and make your presence felt. You're going to get opportunities in training camp. You're going to get opportunities probably in the preseason as well to get some reps, start some games, maybe in the late preseason if, you know, you're not going to want to start Jacoby Brissett. You're not going to want to start your number three overall draft pick either in the preseason game.
Yeah.
So maybe you get an opportunity to start while the coaching staff, while your teammates make an impact, say, I belong here. I'm going to work on the things I need to work on, and I'm going to be better.
Yeah. Tennessee football running back Jalen Wright is officially an NFL rookie after being picked by the Miami Dolphins on Saturday. Was the number 120 overall selection in the fourth round. Yes, Wright is an explosive runner. We all know that. Clocked in at a 4.38 in the 40, the second fastest time among running backs at the combine. That is why he stacked up. Long runs and high yards per carry average, 7.4 last year at Tennessee. Add that to his proven breakaway speed, and it's easy to see how Wright – okay, hold on, we got Titans Bill is back. We're going to bring him back in real quick. Hold on. We'll continue about Jalen Wright here in a second. Titans Bill is back. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome back in.
Well, thank you. I'm very much impressed with what the Titans did.
Okay.
Especially the first two rounds.
Okay.
I like the first round where they picked up that Lathan, that big offensive tackle out of Alabama, that Lathan.
Yes.
And also that big defensive tackle out of the University of Texas.
Yes. Devondre Sweat.
That was a great pick. Yes.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I believe, I'll tell you if there's one player that's very excited, he was a teammate at Tulane.
Yes.
Of course, he graduated ahead of him.
Yeah, Jaquan Jackson, wide receiver from Tulane.
I'll tell you what, I feel he has a chance of making the team. You know, you never know because, look, in any draft, especially in them lower rounds, you can always find the needle in a haystack.
Sure.
And he could be that needle in the haystack, along with that undrafted free agent that they signed out of UT.
Yeah, Jabari Small.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about Jaquan Jackson. I really love him. He's a speedster. Played really well last year at Tulane. Had a really big junior campaign as well. And was a big part of that Cotton Bowl winning team a couple of years ago that beat USC. Jaquan Jackson, I mean, that gives the Titans depth at slot receiver. And he's a player that can be in the mix as a punt returner as well, as he did at Tulane.
I'll tell you what, the Titans could be a surprise, but I think if the season started today, I believe a lot of people would be picking the Houston Texans to win that division. It's no telling where they're going to pick the Titans. They could pick them third, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very, very competitive division now because all four teams have their quarterback of the future. C.J. Stroud with the Texans, Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars, Anthony Richardson with the Colts, and obviously Will Levis with the Titans. I think when you look at the rosters, I think Tennessee would probably be a fourth-place roster going into the year because I still think the Jaguars and Colts have better overall top-to-bottom rosters. But the Titans, again, as you're saying, could surprise some people. With a couple of these acquisitions they made in the draft, they very well could be a surprise this season.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another division that could be very interesting. And that's that AFC North. You could put a blanket on any of those teams. Any of them teams can win that division. It could be Cleveland, It could be Cincinnati. It could be Baltimore. Or it could be Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That division is definitely going to be competitive, along with the AFC South.
It always is. It always seems to be. Last year, all four of those teams were very competitive, and even Joe Burrow missed a lot of that season, and so did Deshaun Watson for the Browns. The Browns were still able to find a way to make it to the playoffs. You know, talk about being well coached. Very competitive division.
The Bengals almost did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking for Will Levis to have a pretty good year.
I think he can. I think, you know, adding J.C. Latham gives you some size, gives you a – I mean, that Titans front line last year was one of the worst in the NFL. So being able to take a top-10 caliber lineman is big. You gave him a couple of weapons now in Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. So now you kind of just say, all right, man, go play. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah. So I believe the Titans made the right hire by hiring Brian Callahan.
Yeah, he's a stud, an offensive mind in an offensive league. It's what you needed, and that's what the Titans got.
And of course, look, you have an A1 quality offensive line coach in his dad.
Yes. Yep.
So okay. Hey, it's always good to talk to you.
Hey, you as well. Thank you so much for calling in, Tynes Bill. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, and great conversation with Tynes Bill. I don't think he's ever called in on here before. So we appreciate the call, Tynes Bill. Call back again. We'd love to talk. A good draft for the Titans and for Tennessee TriStar State players and teams. And we'll go back to Jalen Wright. We were talking about his speed right before Tynes Bill joined us again. But, you know, a guy that stacked up a really nice yards per carry average at Tennessee, 7.4 yards, breakaway speed, only 21 years old, best football likely ahead of him, goes to Miami. What does he bring to the table? And I think it's a guy that can, you know, get it done on third down, is kind of one of those bruising backs. I think it's a guy that, you know, in Mike McDaniel's offense, that's fun. That's a fun piece to add. I think he's very fortunate to go to the Miami Dolphins with the way they run their offense. I think he can be a guy that's available on third down and you know, maybe in the intermediate downs as well.
Depth in the running back room is first thing I had written down. This is a running back room for Miami that is good, but they've had some injury struggles in past years. Now, obviously, A-Chain hasn't quite had those struggles. Mostert has, though. So, you know, if you lose one of those guys, if you lose a Raheem Mostert, you're going to be able to pull Jalen Wright in and say, look, go get the reps that he would have gotten, and maybe he breaks out just like Devon Achane did last year in that offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, you add that safety net, you add that guy that you know is going to come in pro ready and get you those kinds of reps. It's going to be really fun in that offense, too. Mm-hmm. Explosive playmaker. Again, Achane broke out in 2023 in that offense. I think Jalen Wright could do it in 2024. Make an early statement in the backfield, and he is a very hard runner. He's always going to give you 110% downhill, always going to run through tackles, always going to absorb that contact and keep the legs moving. He's an NFL-ready back. He does all the things you want that power, tough back in the NFL to do. He's going to be one of the hardest-working guys on the field, and he's going to bring his A game. He's going to compete for a potential second-string job early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he adds another horse to the stable. That is that Miami offensive specialist group, which, you know, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle both got burners, and in the backfield, we saw Devon Achane just throw on burners last year, and Raheem Mostert, even though with his age, he still's got some juice in the tank left. So I think adding a guy like Jalen Wright, which, you know, in some of those games on those long, like 70, 80-yard runs, he's breaking away from these defensive backs, the fastest players on the field, supposedly. So him having, you know, fresh legs, a guy that didn't play as much as some people might like, but, you know, longevity-wise, that's going to be huge for his career. Flashy speed, like we were talking about, being able to pull away from defensive backs like that is huge. He had one of the top ratings of yards after contact this year. He had about 3 or 4 yards after contact per carry on average, which is huge, especially at that level. And like you said, he's a tough-nosed runner. I mean, he's going to bring it to you. He's got the speed. He's got the strength behind him as well. I think he's going to slot in and really be, you know, primed for that second or first-string spot by the end of the year, especially with his age.
So Tennessee football cornerback Kamal Haddon also joined the NFL, I guess former Vols NFL class, being selected to the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champions, in the sixth round on Saturday, pick 211. Haddon has good length and size, 6'1", 196, rated one of the top coverage cornerbacks in college football last year by Pro Football Focus until a shoulder injury sidelined him for the remaining of the season. But Haddon has the makings of a defensive back who'll hang around in the league for a while. It just depends on the fit. He prefers coverage. Kansas City likes to play a little bit of man. We have seen him go in man coverage as well. Is Kansas City a good fit for Kamal? I think it is.
Considering the new lack of depth at corner that they have with the departure of Snead and a couple others, I think it is. You know, they needed to fill the gaps at defensive back when Snead was traded. You do that. You need to revamp that group and replace that production. Kamal Haddon, very good production last year before the unfortunate injury. And look, any system that has Steve Spagnuolo, he's a defensive genius. He's going to find what Kamal Haddon is best at and use that.
Yeah.
He's so good at bringing that out of his players. I think that's the best part of him going to Kansas City, is because you can say, you know, you can look at a guy and say, okay, that's what he's good at. Bring him on the field on those downs. Put him in those situations. A lot of blitz packages with DBs in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Kamal Haddon's going to be good at that. He was good at that at Tennessee. He's going to be good at that in Kansas City. And look, before he went out, one of the best graded coverage corners in the country.
The best.
The best graded coverage corner in the country. It's a great fit because of who he's going to have coaching him.
You took the words right out of my mouth. First thing I wrote down was Spagnuolo's defense is premier. So I think him being able to slot in with a mind like that on the defensive side is going to be huge. He's going to use him to his strengths, which is going to be a plus for him. And like you said, you're losing an asset that was so huge for that Kansas City defense in L'Jarius Sneed heading to the Titans, is if I can remember correctly. So I think him slotting and adding to the depth of that secondary is only going to be huge. Because, I mean, we saw his potential. I know, you know, many people ragged on him a bunch for the last couple years, but he really elevated his game for that 2023 season at Tennessee. Played the best ball of his career last year in, like, the six, seven games that he was a part of. And, of course, it got cut short. So, hopefully, we get to see some longevity out of him. Maybe we'll see him playing for quite a few Sundays down the line.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo, obviously one of the best in the business. And Kamal Haddon gets to go to a really good coach, really good situation, a winning culture.
Yeah.
And I think he'll fit in well there. Hopefully they give him the opportunity to get some good run in. And we'll have to kind of see in the training camp of what he looks like now, back in full pads, back in full contact after the shoulder injury that he had earlier this season. But definitely has the makings of a guy that can stay around for a while. All right, when we come back, we'll have In the News with Dawson Wise. Stay right here on Overtime.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright irresponsible and plain bad coach. Then SM Athletics changed the game. I want you to picture this. I walk into their store, a coach with a vision. SM Athletics didn't just see a coach. They saw a team's potential. And they delivered custom uniforms so striking. Our team's spirit soared. From cutting-edge apparel to top-notch equipment, SM Athletics transformed our presence. No more unreliable online orders or envying the other team's style. SM Athletics stands for quality, design, and on-time delivery every time. Coaches, elevate your team with SM Athletics. Call 865-966-3434 or visit smathletics.com. Get the best for your team, delivered right and on time. So, elevate your team's game by contacting SM Athletics today.
Life is more fun with a Good Life checking account, offering extra benefits including bank travel. Join us for a trip to Mackinac Island for a stay at the beautiful Grand Hotel. Travel with us to southern Utah to witness the enormous, colorful, and unusual rock formations. Or join us on one of our many day trips. We're always on the go.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Fan Run Radio is proud to present the 37 Club, an exclusive community of the lifeblood of Fan Run Radio. You, our biggest supporters. With a membership to the 37 Club, You'll receive exclusive content like podcasts, blogs, and videos, giveaways, and access to exclusive merchandise and events. So join the 37 Club today by going to fanrunradio.com.
Looking for a luxury RV getaway? Then come see Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Just imagine a personal oasis on the French Broad River with outstanding amenities just minutes from the Great Smoky Mountains. Enjoy the quiet, private setting on sites offering unexpected beauty and tranquility. Unplug from everyday life and plug in to the serenity of life on the river, big mountain skies, and bucket list sunsets at Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. Serenity in the heart of it all. Visit tworiversrvresort.com.
Are you tired of the same boring workouts that don't get you the results that you want? Check out HotWorks. With infrared light therapy and personalized wellness options, you'll be able to get the perfect workout every time. With the hot yoga or any of the other isometric options at HotWorks, you'll feel the detoxification right away. Hop on over to 10839 Hardin Valley Road, or visit any of the other Knoxville locations to get started on your personalized journey.
All right, back here on Overtime on a Monday. We appreciate you listening along with us. Now it's time for In the News with Dawson Wise.
A very gloomy edition of this today. Not a great run in sports for my teams yesterday. So we will start with the local team, and that is in the NHL, in a collapse. The Nashville Predators were moments from tying their first-round playoff series at two games apiece yesterday afternoon at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. After losing Game 3 at home to Vancouver on Friday, Nashville desperately needed to at least split the pair of games at home before returning to Vancouver for Game 5. Then, in the blink of an eye, the lead was gone. Up 3-1 with 3 minutes to go, the Canucks pulled the goalie and brought on the extra attacker. Brock Besser scored twice in those final 3 minutes to tie the game, a sequence that included a Nashville Predators wide-open chance at an empty net that clanged off the right post. Then, just over 60 seconds into overtime, Elias Lindholm put the game away and shattered the hearts of Preds fans and Preds players. Some quotes from after the game. First from head coach Andrew Burnett. We just broke down, lost our composure there near the end. The composure late in games, and just attention to detail, it needs to be sharper. Forward Gus Nyquist, you've got to be able to put that game away. We felt like, Roman Josi, team captain, we felt like we played a really good game for 55 minutes. We just didn't get the win. That's just what happens sometimes. Once we get on our plane tomorrow for Vancouver, we've got to forget about this one. The Preds now shift their focus to a win-or-go-home Game 5 on the road in Vancouver tomorrow night, where their fairy tale season could come to a crashing down end just as quickly as it began. This was a heartbreaker, and there's been some heartbreakers for the Nashville Predators in the last several years. Winning the President's Trophy in 2018 and then proceeding to lose in the second round to a middle-of-the-pack Winnipeg Jets team, That was pretty rough. Obviously, the Stanley Cup final moment where the play gets blown dead, they score and the play gets blown dead, you go on to lose that game and lose the Stanley Cup at home. That was a pretty heartbreaking moment. This one, I think, takes the cake. I mean, this, you needed this game because you lost on Friday. You don't show up on Friday really hardly at all. Just did not play well. Played really flat in front of a great home atmosphere. You didn't show up. Offensively, defensively, goaltending, nothing showed up on Friday. You needed this game, and you played so well for about 57 minutes of this game. We're up 3-1 late, controlled the entire game on both ends, and it comes crashing down like this. And to have it happen, we're in about a 30-second span. You hit the post from, by the way, about a half a foot away. I mean, it was not like we were shooting from center ice. Oh, it hit the post. You just missed. I mean, they were on goal 6 inches from the goal line and still missed off the post. Heartbreaker, and one of those games – kind of like Game 2 of this Lakers-Nuggets series, where you see that happen and you're like, this series just ended. This series, they're not going to be able to extend it any further beyond Game 5 because of now what stands in their way and because of how demoralizing a loss like that is. For a team that wasn't supposed to be here, you know, it's hard to be too upset because midseason, again, a team that was way ahead of schedule, was supposed to miss the playoffs this year, goes on a wild point streak, makes the postseason anyway. This is really still very devastating because now once you get here, especially once you win a game on the road,
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, maybe they got something here. Now your back's against the wall. You got to win three in a row. You got to win two in Vancouver, which has been a great atmosphere and a great place for them to play all year. They've been so good at home. This one's devastating for Nashville. How devastating, in your eyes, is this one for the Preds?
Well, it's devastating because you were able to go on the road in game two, win, you know, 4-1, very convincingly. A convincing win. Now you're heading back home to Smashville, where you're supposed to have one of the better home, you know, home court, or I guess home ice environments, I should say, and you lose both games at home. That's devastating because, you know, you lose game three, right? Okay, well, let's bounce back, tie this thing up in game four, and let's make it even. And then you play so well up until the final moments, and you not only let them come back and tie the game up, you also let them, you know, win the game. It's devastating in the fact that you played so well through a majority of that game, you know, up 3-1. What was it? When was the third goal?
It was 12 seconds into the third period.
Okay, yeah. So you're in the third period up two goals, assuming, you know, home ice, you could probably finish it out, and you find a way to lose the game. It just, you know, it hurts, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you said, this is a team that, you know, wasn't supposed to necessarily be here. But once you get in the moment, you know, every team has a shot, right? Every team has the idea of we're making it all the way. So it's just tough because of how hard or how far you came, you got here, and then you had an opportunity to tie this thing up and you let it slip away. It's just devastating. It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts a bunch. It kind of feels like, you know, in my eyes, that Nuggets-Lakers game two, where, you know, you're up 20 in that second half, and then, you know, it's slowly chipping away. Of course, it happened much faster for the Predators on Sunday. So, you know, that being a part of it, being up so long in front of a home crowd is huge. And, you know, is Vancouver still down there starting goalie? Is that still a thing?
They started their third string goalie in
okay.
game four.
So, you know, that being something that's a part of that game as well is sort of icing on the cake because, you know, you take that into account. Some teams, like third goalie, I remember a couple years ago, some team brought out, like, the Zamboni driver to close out a game and was able to finish out that game. So you add that on top of things where you're trying to gain some momentum back after getting smacked in the mouth on Friday night and you just get it snatched away from you. It really feels like it's going to be an impossible mountain to climb.
Well, go back to game five in Vancouver. It'll be late tomorrow night. I believe it's a 10 o'clock puck drop in Vancouver. So got to win to keep the season going. Down 3-1 is not impossible. Got to win game five in Vancouver, though, to keep the season alive. We'll go to the association. Before I get my tangent and get on my soapbox in a minute, we'll do a whip around. There were three other games yesterday before the Phoenix Suns' disappointing loss. Sunday featured four NBA playoff contests. We'll cover three of them briefly. First, the New York Knicks defeated the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference first round, 97-92, in what is being dubbed the Jalen Brunson game. Jalen Brunson, another legendary playoff performance. 47 points, 10 assists on the way to leading the Knicks to the victory. Ananobi McBride, also in double figures for New York. The Sixers had four of their starters in double figures. Embiid, 27. Maxey had 23. Oubre had 19. And Tobias Harris had 10. It was not enough to overcome Jalen Brunson's monster performance. The Knicks now head back home with a 3-1 advantage trying to win that series. I'm really surprised, and we'll get to this in a minute, I'm really surprised the Knicks are up 3-1 in that series. I figured the Sixers would probably win two of the first four. They don't, though. Next, the LA Clippers. They bounce back from a rough start to that series. They win game four, 116-111 in Dallas, tying the series at two games apiece. The term you hate so much, playoff P, has finally arrived. He drops in 33 points, 11 for 19 shooting, 7 for 10 from three. James Harden adds 33 of his own. Really great playoff performance for him that I'm not sure I expected to happen in this series.
I did not.
But he drops in four threes, has 33. L.A. able to overcome really big nights from Luka and Kyrie. Luka had 29. Kyrie had 40 in this game.
Luka had a triple-double.
Yes, 29-point triple-double for Luka. The Clippers win anyway. They hold that off. The series now goes back to Crypto.com Arena for game five. The third game on the slate, Indianapolis and Milwaukee. The Pacers hold serve on home court. They win game four to take a 3-1 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. Miles Turner leading the way, 29 points. Tyrese Halliburton, 24. They had six players in double figures in that game. Milwaukee, they got a great performance from Brook Lopez, 27 and 9 boards. Chris Middleton, 25 and 10 boards. And Malik Beasley pitched in 20 points in a night where, I mean, they needed him. No Giannis, no Dame. They needed him. He got it. But they suffered from missing those two stars. They dropped that game. Now their season is on the line, heading back to Milwaukee in a game where, by the way, as we've now learned, Giannis and Damian Lillard, both doubtful for Game 5.
Yeah.
Potentially a season ender for the Milwaukee Bucks. And so the first three games on Sunday, a lot of great moments, a lot of big performances. I think Jalen Brunson's the obvious answer. Leading the Knicks to, again, a lead that I did not think they'd have in this series. It's my favorite moment from Sunday because he just continues to get better. I don't know how he gets better. I thought his playoff run 2 years ago was going to be, you know, the best we got out of Jalen Brunson, and he just continues to one-up it. Another legendary performance and leads this Knicks team to the brink of the second round, where, again, I'm not saying they were going to lose the series. I certainly did not think that Jalen Brunson was going to make it look this easy. For you guys, favorite moment from Sunday's early slate?
Favorite moment, is it the Milwaukee Bucks falling once again like I predicted? Maybe. however, the Clippers, you know, they were able to find a way to win. So yeah. That, you know, I guess Brunson's the easy pick here. Obviously, he was incredible. But really, I think the bigger notable part from this game was Joel Embiid. In the fourth quarter has continued to struggle. Joel Embiid has failed to make a shot in the fourth quarter in 21% of his playoff games in his career. The best player on the court failing to make the big-time plays in the final moments of the game. And it was, once again, that way yesterday. You know, you need your biggest players to perform, and Joel Embiid was not able to do that. Going to the Clippers game, James Harden, you know, I guess he listened to my rants on him, talking about how he was not the same player. Not, you know, when they first made the trade, I said, well, that's fine, but just wait until playoff time. He's been the most consistent and best player for the Clippers this postseason. Yeah. Maybe him and Kawhi had a little bit of a thunderstruck moment. You ever seen that movie? You know,
yes.
Maybe him and Kawhi switched, because Harden was really good yesterday. But my biggest gripe with the game was, Mavericks, what the hell are you doing? Why? P.J. Washington's playing so far up on Harden, and they're letting him collapse inside and come into the paint, totally forming a defensive breakdown for the Mavericks. I just don't understand why they continue to let that happen. The Mavericks have been inconsistent all year long defensively. Luka's not a defender. I like the matchup with P.J. Washington. Why the hell are you guarding him, you know, at the half-court line? Back up a little bit and play in position to where Harden just can't go right by you. And then going that Bucks-Pacers game briefly, you know, no Dame, no Giannis. Bobby Portis gets ejected in the first couple of minutes.
Yep.
Chris Middleton suffers an injury. They're going to use the injuries as a scapegoat for this team, but the Bucks had problems all season long. They failed to have an identity. You know, they made the head coaching change that has not worked, and Dame and Giannis don't work together. Fail to have an identity, your stars don't work together. Who does that sound like, Dawson?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like. So obviously Brunson's the big answer. I think, you know, you bring up Bobby Portis getting tossed. I initially thought that was Patrick Beverley of all people getting down and dirty over in Indianapolis, but that was not the case. That was probably one of the more entertaining parts of Sunday Sunday for me. You know, I think Halliburton had a huge game over for the Pacers as well. Dropped in a couple big threes to put the Pacers up big time. But probably the most entertaining part about the early Saturday slate for me was that huge comeback by the Mavericks. They were down 31 in that game, and they made it a ball game very late in that one. I think it was huge. I mean, Kyrie put up 40, like you said. Luka had a 29-point triple-double. But the way that the Clippers found a way to win, relying on James Harden with 15 fourth-quarter points, the way he was attacking the rim, finding his way to the free throw line when they would call it, and like you said, a crazy return of playoff P for what feels like the first time in a decade was huge for them. It was just, you know, that's what playoff basketball is. You know, sometimes it can get out of hand, but the Mavericks found a way towards the end of it, just couldn't overcome the late push from the Clippers. I think that was probably my favorite part.
All right. We've reached the nightcap. The final game on Sunday's NBA slate featured my Phoenix Suns. Going into Game 4, down 3-0, the Suns are backed into very unfamiliar territory, at least in the last few years. With one chance left to stave off elimination, you would think that the Suns would have come out playing with fire and energy and drive to keep the season going. Instead, It was the same team that showed up for the first three games. Though the game remained close for most of the first half and into the second half, the Suns simply could not maintain the energy after the break. The Timberwolves pull away late and eliminate the new-look Suns 122-116 in a four-game sweep. Anthony Edwards, a masterful performance, especially in the second half. He had 40 on the night, 31 in the second half, and it felt like 100 in the last 5 minutes of that game. Karl-Anthony Towns, big night for him, 28 on the night. Jaden McDaniels punished the Suns for, I think, the third time in this series. He had 18. Minnesota cleaned up on the glass. They out-rebounded Phoenix 44-33. For the Suns, Devin Booker, it's one of his best ever playoff outings. Mm-hmm. He had 49 on 13-21. Kevin Durant, 33. The Suns tied the game at 107 just before the four-minute mark, but ran out of gas. Edwards and McDaniels back-to-back threes with 3:20 to go to give the Wolves the lead for good. It was a notably tough night for newly acquired star Bradley Beal, who had 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting. Jace mentioned before we came in here, 6 turnovers and 6 fouls. So a notably tough night for Bradley Beal. The Suns' tumultuous and odd season comes to an end with an uninspiring 4-0 series loss. Now, there are questions as to whether or not the young core should have been traded and if this big three idea was a bad move. There are also doubts about the ability of Coach Frank Vogel. Reports swirling the team had checked out on Vogel earlier in the year. Overall, it was a rough year for a team expected to contend and a big three that tried to find their footing and chemistry, and the Suns struggled to find secondary production. It's time for my soapbox. I was skeptical of this from the moment they traded for Bradley Beal. I really was skeptical from the moment they traded Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, because the doubts started about the young core after the Mavericks series 2 years ago when the Suns won 64 games. They traded those few players, and then they traded DeAndre Ayton. They pick up Yusuf Nurkic, which, to be fair, ended up having a decent year. You pick up Kevin Durant. You pick up Bradley Beal. You don't have any bench players because you can't afford them, because you're paying a big three way too much. You've got guys on the wrong side of 32, and Devin Booker, which he's great, but when you have two guys on the wrong side of 32 that have injury problems and you have no bench, that doesn't help. You looked uninspired all year. You had no chemistry all year. That young core, what made that young core so good is that everybody knew what they were there to do. Cam Johnson knew his role. Mikal Bridges knew his role as the defensive guy, the three-point guy. DeAndre Ayton knew his role to be down low, to be that big. Everybody knew what they were there to do. Even Chris Paul, who at that point was, I think, 37, knew what he was there to do. He was there to take over in the fourth quarter. He was there to be the assist guy. Everybody knew what they were going to do. This team had no idea, because you had three guys that demand the ball. It's much like when the Lakers traded for Russell Westbrook at first.
Yeah, very much.
You've got LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and AD who all demand the basketball at all times. Kyrie and Luka demand the basketball at all times. We've talked about how dysfunctional that looked at times this year. The Suns had that beat. This is frustrating. It was avoidable because you could have kept the young core around and probably contended for the next 8 years. Now, I feel like the window's closed. I don't even feel like the window's open anymore. There's people talking about trading Devin Booker now. There's people talking about trading Kevin Durant now. You can't trade Bradley Beal because he didn't waive his no-trade clause. So you can't move off of him. His post-game press conference, by the way, incredible. After nine points, what
did he say?
Well, you remember he said he hadn't been swept a day in his life.
Yeah.
Well, he has now. It was kind of funny to watch him. Well, you know, admit
have
that
to
now
navigate,
he's been swept.
Yeah.
After he scored 9 points, I'll get off my soapbox. It's frustrating. It's disheartening because you could have kept that young core around. It's a little bit too late now. So much went wrong. I think the number one issue just was, number one, he had no bench, and number two, he had no chemistry. To you guys, help me cope a little bit. What went wrong in Phoenix?
One of my biggest policies in the NBA has always been prioritizing depth and guys that can play valuable minutes in a playoff series more than just front-loading with stars. Mm-hmm. And I was not a big fan of the Kevin Durant trade when it happened, but it made more sense than adding Bradley Beal this offseason. By adding Beal, you now clear every opportunity out to have any type of bench and clear the opportunity to have a functional roster of a point guard and two, you know, scoring forwards or guards and, you know, a big down low. Now it's what this team is, and I've got it circled here, my bottom line for this team, this is a pickup squad, not a basketball team. It's, you know, three really good stars, right? Three really good players that can score and you know, at their highest are some of the best in the league. It's not a basketball team. Mm. A basketball team has to have a bench. A basketball team has to have an I mean, about, you know, said a bad word there, has to have a point guard. You know, I mean, Nurkic had a good season, but, you know, that's not a guy that you want to lean on come playoff time. They were 26-19 when Booker, Beal, and KD played this season.
Yeah.
Mediocre, so underwhelming.
Big three.
Yeah.
And they don't have draft picks that they own for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you hire a tech guy to run your decision-making here. Tech guys are very, you know, the same thing going on in Los Angeles, and they've had their own flaws. But with Ballmer, you know, they want to win now. They want everything to happen quickly and develop. They don't want to wait over time to have a developing roster. And as a result, this Phoenix Suns team that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was in the NBA Finals, they've won two playoff series since making the finals in 2021. They're a mess, and they've done it to themselves.
Yeah, it's the first thing that came to mind was no depth. And, you know, especially in Game 4, I think it was sort of, you know, the magnum opus of what the problem was. And, I mean, you've only got two of your three stars showing up. Granted, they combined for over 80 points, which it should be plenty enough if you have any sort of production from anybody else on the court. But like you said, Bradley Beal shoving in 9 points was a big thing. I mean, do you really want Royce O'Neal out there starting for you at any point? Let alone do you want Eric Gordon of anybody playing 40 minutes in a playoff.
To be
game.
Fair, you had to start Royce O'Neal because you had no Grayson Allen, and that's you have no true. Point guard.
That's very true. But I'll still rest my point on, you know, are you really wanting to rely on old
it's
ass
a fair point.
Eric Gordon for 40 minutes just to put in, what, 8 points? Like,
when you got to lean on Eric Gordon to get you 23 points in game one or game two, whichever
yeah,
it was.
The guy is
come
40.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You trade away all your young guys, like, and a guy like Mikal Bridges, who you really stepped up in Brooklyn this year, was huge. DeAndre Ayton, who knew his role. And you get guys that, like you said, are prying for the ball at all times, always have to put in, you know, big-time points and minutes. I think it's a recipe for disaster. And like you said, well, you have no assets to, you know, make moves with to, you know, dig yourself out of this hole that you've really put yourself in. And, I mean, I really wouldn't throw this on Frank Vogel that much. I mean, he was able to succeed over in L.A., you know, in that COVID year, especially whenever they won the championship. But, you know, being surrounded by all those stars right there with nobody behind him, nobody really knows their role. Nurkic played all right, but, I mean, he's not a guy that's just going to take you to the next level. I think a mixture of, you know, dysfunction on that end and just low level of play throughout these playoffs was just the death sentence.
All right, that's In the News with Dawson Wise. When we come back, we'll head to the phones before wrapping up a Monday edition of Overtime.
White Claw is taking hard seltzer to new heights with White Claw Surge. At 8% alcohol, White Claw Surge is a stronger wave of refreshment that doesn't compromise on taste. Available in four bold waves of flavor like ripe blackberry, citrusy blood orange, zesty natural lime, and tart cranberry. Check out your favorite retailer in-store and online for the White Claw Surge Variety 12-pack and 16-ounce single-serve cans. White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly.
At Wholesale Supply, we're more than just a plumbing, electrical, and HVAC supplier. We're your partners in success. Join our family of customers today and experience the benefits of partnering with us. Enjoy free local delivery so you can focus on what you do best, getting the job done. With wholesale pricing, you'll save big on every purchase. Plus, our fast, friendly support team is here to assist you every step of the way. Our vast selection from top manufacturers ensures you'll find everything you need all under one roof. To find a location near you, visit wholesalesupply.us for more. And remember, Wholesale Supply, open to the public.
From high school heroes to college legends, First Bank is proud to champion our local athletes. But we don't just back you on the field or on the court. We team up with customers to score the wins that grow communities.
Citizens National Bank. We make it easy to save money. Get access to thousands of discounts on shopping, dining, and travel with the CNB Plus Perks account. It's a powerful new way to save money with roadside assistance, cell phone protection, identity theft protection, and credit monitoring. Banking at CNB has its perks. Call or stop by a branch for more details.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now at SmokiesBaseball.com.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work and appreciates those who do it? Then it's time to join the movement at Axel Logistics. Axel is looking to expand their award-winning sales team with logistics consultants who are outgoing, ambitious, and thrive in a fast-paced environment. If that sounds like you, visit axellogistics.com to learn more. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on Fan Run Radio. Axel Logistics. Now is your time.
Your tax refund belongs to you, not an identity thief. Over $6 billion in tax refunds were flagged by the IRS for possible identity theft last year. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. They monitor and alert you to identity threats you'd miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become a victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve your identity theft issue. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Let LifeLock help protect your financial info, so all you have to worry about is what you do with your tax refund. Go to LifeLock.com, save up to 25% off your first year. The promo code is HERD, promo code H-E-R-D, to save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com. Identity theft protection starts here.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Hey. Little CC.
All right, back here on Overtime, wrapping up a Monday edition. Let's head to the phones where we've got Joshy Boy on the line. What's up, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
So what do you think the keys are tonight for the Lakers to force a game five and get a victory in Denver?
You got to get that, you know, same uptick in performances from D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reaves. I think that's why you were able to win game four. I mean, those guys combined for 42 points. You haven't had that all series to where your best four players combined for, you know, 80-something points, 90-something points. That's what you need. I don't know if you can rely on it because D'Angelo Russell has been hot and cold every other game in this series. Austin Reaves has been good but not great outside of game four. So you've got to get big production from them. You've got to be able to hold on to a lead, and you've got to finish the game.
I meant to force a game six. That's what I meant.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you got to be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, who do you guys, William? Who do you expect for the Lakers to have a big night if they're wanting to win?
I mean, typically and historically, LeBron James in closeout games, you know, back against the wall plays really, really well, and he did. And
think AD could have a big game?
Well, I think AD's been big all series. I mean, I think you have to have him again. I think outside of LeBron and AD, the expected guys, the X factor is going to be D'Angelo Russell. I think he's been the X factor in every game this series. If he plays well, the Lakers have the shot, their best shot at winning.
True. Moving on to baseball from this week, what did you guys think about the Vols sweeping Missouri? Because I think two of the games Missouri could have won, but the Vols fought and won those two.
I mean, we mentioned it earlier. I kind of talked about it the other day after game three. It's just that this team has proven now that they can win all types of ball games, which teams that win championships win all types of ball games. That's not even just strict to college level. You got to be able to win slugfests. You got to be able to win blowouts. You got to be able to win in pitcher's duels. This team can do it all. Really awesome performance from the pitching staff. Awesome weekend for the baseballs.
Yeah, it was huge to have another asset under the belt. I know I talked about it earlier. Kirby Cannell said that it was big for the young guys to get, you know, a feel of games that are really going to mirror games in like regionals and super regionals, where it's down to a one or two run game, especially late in the game. So getting those young guys that experience was probably my biggest takeaway.
And guys out the door, are you guys excited for the new NCAA football game coming out? Y'all have a good night.
You as well, Joshy. We appreciate you calling in. Glad we could fit you in. Yes, very excited. So Matt Brown came out today with some big news. 4 cover athletes, all different positions and all current college football players. We were talking about it just by chance last night in my house. And I was saying that I think Shador Sanders will be a guy. And then do they put 2 Colorado players? Because if you're thinking about the most polarizing players in college football, it's Shador and Travis Hunter. I don't imagine both of them get separate covers. Maybe they put them on together.
On a cover together, I guess. Yeah.
But 4 different positions, I'm assuming. You know, maybe at 1 defensive player and then a running back, wide receiver, quarterback.
Who would you go with defensive player?
I know.
Harold
put
Perkins?
Out...
I mean, but I'm just saying none of these guys have the polarization as like – Yeah, Shador Sanders and Hunter.
He put out a list, and like you said, different position players. 3 of the guys that were on there were quarterbacks, and it was Shador Sanders, Quinn Ewers, and Carson Beck. And if you're going to pick one of those 3 guys, who do you really go with?
I promise you, nothing's
polarizing getting it. Shador, deserving Quinn Ewers.
Carson Beck's not getting me off the couch.
No. Well, no. Yeah, exactly. Well,
hey, that's like having an old gen console, or like getting a game on the old gen. Like, did you get the Carson Beck version of college football? All right, that's going to wrap it up here on Overtime. We appreciate you listening along with us. We'll be back here tomorrow to break down some of these playoff games tonight. Hopefully we get to talk about the Lakers winning. We'll see. And any more Vol portal news. We'll see you again tomorrow on Overtime.